want you to write on your piece of paper who would you consider a wise person? You need paper. So do we have an extra piece of paper we can run and a pen? Who would you consider a wise person?
Write it down. In life.
Doesn't matter if they still exist. It's just who would you consider a wise person? I learned years ago from wise people that the faintest ink is better than the most retentive mind. So there are some things you really do need to scribe down, and others you can just store in your head. But this is going to be something that you're going to need to ponder, this message. And it will include the offering, because money is a lot about wisdom, but we'll get into that in a minute. The second question is, who would you consider a foolish person? Mind you, this is your personal piece of paper, so you may you may want to keep it to yourself. Who would you consider a foolish person? And who would you consider a knowledgeable person? All right, I'm going to share with you what I wrote down. You can ponder this, think about it, but I hope you did write something down on your piece of paper. The person that came to me as a wise person was Jesus. Because he lived, because you have to think about this, what made the person wise that you would consider them a wise person? He lived a successful life here, and he overcame everything. Now, and we can get into more of that through the message as it unfolds. Who I considered a knowledgeable person, the first person that came to me was Albert Einstein. He developed his mind very, very well. And who did I consider a foolish person? Was a lost soul. The Bible says that those people can gain the whole world and lose their soul. Since I'm not here to judge whether somebody has received Christ or not, I didn't really want to put a name down for that. It could be, and it's okay if you put down somebody because of a specific situation, but mine was about the eternal soul of men, and it really... The Bible does say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Why was he foolish? He didn't plan for eternity. He only planned temporarily. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. I'll share a pearl of wisdom with you in regards to your financial life. Proverbs 31, starting with verse 16. Talking about a wise woman, it says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth it. Delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. On and on. Proverbs 31 is a wonderful passage. But in regards to finances, think about this. When it comes to our financial part of our life, we have to have something that produces from our life. For example, to find a job, you have to find something that God's given to you through your specific gifts that will cause you to produce something that will meet your needs. You know, some people live in the barter system, where what they do is bartered with somebody else that does, and yet their needs are met, and there's really no money exchange. There's other types of exchange. But it said that she found a vineyard, and what did she do? What does your Bible say? She considered it, and she bought it. With the fruit of her hand, she planted a vineyard. So not only did she find the source of her revenue, but she had to plant within that source to cause it to begin to produce. We had a phone call from someone, just because you never know where these messages are going to go, that decided they wanted to pursue more in their career. They were doing very well, but they wanted more fruitfulness for more aspects of their life. So they planted a resume in a specific place. And they were very specific on what they wanted. Even to the point where the business said, yes, we actually want you out of all the people. And this is what we're willing to offer you. And they called and said, but this is really what I want. So they gave back what they really wanted that wasn't quite exactly there. And the company accepted. Then we talked, and I said, how do you know? I said, there's one thing about wisdom. Tonight is all about wisdom. Is not one of us here without God can know our future. Not one of us. We're foolish if we think we can know our future without God. And therefore, I said to the person, one thing that is very important if you want to know, because naturally, everything about this job seems the best for the family. But one thing that I said to the person is, if you involve God in this, then you have the greatest assurance because he knows your future. So ask him, is there anything that you do not agree with? You know, this is something that you brought me here for. And I said, is there anything that's bothering you? And the person said, yes, I have to learn so much. And I said, oh, but you will become wiser because you already have knowledge from your previous career that you'll bring in it. I don't believe there's anything in starting over with God because he's limitless in what he can do with us. So if we want a great financial life, we have to make sure we have something that we're doing that can produce. If we have nothing to produce, then God doesn't have anything to work with. And then once the woman planted the vineyard, what does she do when she gets all of that produce? What did she do? No, the first thing is she would sell it to meet her own needs, but with the profit of it, she could buy another one and sell to help others. And it goes on and on and on and on. The title of tonight's message is called Mining, like a gold miner, Mining and Desiring the Wisdom of God. Now, wisdom can come from hard pursuits of different subjects, from money to people to law, or wisdom can come supernaturally by a word of wisdom from God. And a wise person can discern the difference. Sometimes what happens is there are people that just pursue natural wisdom on so many subjects, but they totally don't even either know or don't pursue the wisdom of God supernaturally. Then there's others that may come to Christ. They hear about the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We'll talk about the word of wisdom tonight. And they completely let go of natural wisdom. But God has put us in a natural body and a natural world. And so he wants us to develop both. So this should really stir you to really locate yourself, because we're going to discuss things during dinner from some questions that will be asked at the end. Because the Bible speaks of two wisdoms. Natural wisdom and supernatural wisdom. Now, natural wisdom is a keen understanding of a very complicated network. Let's just think of a watch. Anybody have a watch on you? Just look at your watch right now. All right? Your watch has a lot of parts to it. Anybody ever seen the inside of a watch? Okay. You seen the movie Hugo? Anybody seen the movie Hugo? It's a great movie if you want to watch a very good movie that can speak to you, but it's all about a clock and the inner workings and the gift within this one young man. So there's many parts, and you can know the names of every single part and not know how this watch works. Because knowing all the parts is not wisdom, that's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to take all of those parts and make it work. And it's the same spiritually. There's a lot of parts to the kingdom of God. And if we don't understand the parts, we can't really function in the realm of the spirit very well. Natural wisdom pursues all the elements of nature. And when you can understand how and why something works, you can increase your future wisdom. If you learn about how people think, how people live, how people respond, you can be used well in your family life. You can be used well in the workplace with people or everyday life. Because it's a deep understanding of people that can be shifted in different arenas. And the more we understand the complexity of wisdom, but how it actually helps you function well in so many arenas, the more we won't fight God when he is trying to put something new in us that it's just foreign, we've never been a part of or around anything like that. I was sharing with this person that when God called me into the work for Israel, there were a lot of pieces of history that he had to put in me that I really didn't take very serious growing up. A lot of it was I didn't have a real inspiring teacher. So I really never understood in a young place how valuable history was to learn. To me, it was just dates and memorizing, but I really didn't gain a value of it. And therefore, I told this person, though it's been a lot of work, it has enhanced my life on so many levels. So anything, and everybody here has areas of our lives that maybe we haven't really pursued, that we really do need to pursue because maybe it wasn't that exciting, or we just don't like being uncomfortable not knowing. I find people come into the kingdom of God, and if they were not raised with knowing anything about the Bible, they can feel very uncomfortable being in a setting like this where they're asked a question. Because just like in school, maybe you had it in school where if a kid was asked a question and they gave the wrong answer, the other kids laughed. You know, some things people just have to overcome. Now, the Bible says that wisdom, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4, is so important. Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now notice the next verse. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. How many of you would like a promotion? How many of you would like a promotion in your job? With what you're doing for your work. I want one. I always want to be promoted in what I'm doing. Whether it's in the kingdom of God as a minister, whether it's in business, whatever it is, you exalt wisdom and you will get promoted. Think about that. What does it mean to exalt wisdom? Well, first you have to understand wisdom a little more. The Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah. Say it with me. It's just good to get the experience. Chokmah. Yeah. And it says it's the principal thing. I was pretty fascinated when I went into this because one thing that we're going to find about wisdom is you're always moving forward with wisdom. So the more you get, the more you get, the more you get. And it just expands you more and more and more. But this word principal thing is the word reshit. And it comes from a Hebrew word that is bereshit. Can you say that? Bereshit. Okay. When God created the earth, it said in the beginning. That word beginning was bereshit. From the very beginning. So if in the beginning God created, that means in the beginning was wisdom. That's why wisdom is reshit. It is got to be that valuable to you as it was the day God created everything. It was God's wisdom that not only created what he created, but why he created it. Wisdom, or chokmah, is a response. It's an actual response. Wisdom is a response, the Jews say, to the teaching of the Torah. I was reading by a rabbi that said, you cannot really understand the Bible unless you know Hebrew. Well, we have plenty of resources to learn the language. Not necessarily that you have to be fluently in speaking, but you can do what I did before I actually began to take more of the language in, and that is you can go into the original and look at these words and find out what these words mean to get more understanding, just like the Webster's Dictionary. Though the Jews just talked about the Torah, we can say the whole counsel of God, the Bible that we know as well. So wisdom is a response to the teaching of the Bible. It's your response. There's everything that you want to know about the major things that go on with life are in here in part. And then he's given us amazing creation and technology to help you understand things in more detail. So it's the response to the teaching of the Bible, of what he expects from us. Now, Hebrew wisdom is different from Greek wisdom. And it's important to know that, because Greek wisdom stresses that knowledge is virtue. But Hebrew wisdom is not found in the head. It's rather found in the heart and the will. So the Hebrew wisdom that's practical is based on revealed principles of right and wrong to be lived in daily life. And the one that does this is considered wise. So what does it profit someone if they gain a big head and they know a lot, but they never developed an understanding of how to live? We're supposed to allow God's wisdom that comes from his word to produce insights. Anybody ever had an insight? What's an insight? I just got an insight. That means it was hidden from you. And now you know. So God's wisdom can go give you the aha. That's why we're supposed to get married. That's why we're supposed to forgive. Insight. And after we get the insight, and I trust that each one of us to some degree is going to get an aha tonight. Once you get the insight, it says that wisdom analyzes this insight. You know, some people are very analytical, and they get stuck in just analyzing. But there is an analyzing to the wisdom of God, and it's an orderly way of understanding something. It's understanding one thing within another thing, within another thing, within another thing, within another thing. How many of you remember going to school? You don't remember any of school? Do you remember building blocks? You remember building blocks? You don't remember building blocks?
No.
Now, what would building blocks have to do with wisdom? Yeah. It's adding one thing to another to keep it all together so it wouldn't fall down. And so the little child is supposed to build this up really high. I remember playing with cards as a young girl, and I would go up to the mountains, spend time with my grandpa, and he taught me how to build these buildings with cards. First, you would take a card, two cards to make the teepee, then two for the sides, two on the other sides, and then you put the roof on. And then he would take the teepee on top. And he said he was going to pay me how many stories I could do it. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody can say, well, once I know how to do the house, then I could do the second floor. But it was amazing how some of them would fall down. Because knowledge wasn't enough. It took making sure that not only did I put the cards like this, you know, from playing cards, they can get bent around. I had to make sure that they were all bent the right way so that they stayed the right way, and make sure the roof was on straight. If it was a little tilted, then it started making it heavy on one part of the building. And I actually built 10 stories. Now, mind you, I was probably 10 or 12 years old doing this. And I got a dime for every story I could build. Every time I built a story and then it fell down, I analyzed. Even as a child, I analyzed how could I take that and make it work the next time? What made it fall down? That's really what life is all about. If what we're doing is working, we're on a roll, and praise the Lord, we can analyze that and say, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. But if something's not working, whether it's believing God for something, whether it's something you're doing in your home, then something has to be corrected. You need insight. You need to analyze it and really look at it. Make the correction. For example, every one of us here were given insight that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But until we began to analyze and think about that, we did not get that, aha, I'm one of them. I'm one. Oh my gosh, do you remember your aha moment? How many of you remember when you received Christ? Do you remember when you received Christ? It's like, aha, huh, okay. That means I need to receive Christ. But then I had to build on that. What does that now mean that will be expected of me? Because some people think, okay, I can just ask Jesus in my heart and go on and live the life the same way. But they don't understand. No, you're not building a life in God. So, James says, if you lack wisdom, what? Ask for it. Now, James was talking to believers that suddenly were being highly persecuted for their faith. And it was causing them to want to run. Ever felt pressure in your job? Pressure in your family? Pressure in your body? Pressure, and you want to run away? You're lacking wisdom. So they didn't understand how to deal with it, and so James began to say, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. First of all, you're going to have to ask, because it's something that you don't have. So if there's an area that you are lacking wisdom in, you can make a little note for yourself, ask. On the other hand, with supernatural wisdom, it's very uniquely different. God has all wisdom, correct? He has all wisdom. So supernatural wisdom that comes to us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this wisdom operated under the Old Covenant. It did. The only thing that did not operate in the gifts of the Spirit under the Old Covenant was speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All the other gifts operated. And I'll prove it in a moment. But the word of wisdom is a supernatural gift given by desire. The other wisdom You have to search methodically. If you want to be a watchmaker, you've got to learn all the pieces, don't you, Roger? And then you have to know how to put those pieces together and know how to get it to start. John and I were watching this program last night about this doctor, and it was the first time, right? Mm-hmm. This physician, the first time he did a heart transplant. Did anybody see that on TV?
No, the first one ever.
The first one ever done, but it was the first one he'd ever done, too. And I forget it was important, we can talk about it later, but it was a pretty important person, right? That had had like 3 or 4 heart attacks. And so that's why I get pushed him into wanting to try the heart transplant. And the first time that he got the heart in it, and first the heart's on a machine to keep it beating. The first time they shut off all the machines, the heart stopped, and they're like, oh no. But they actually hooked it up to the machines again. They knew he couldn't live on the machine the rest of his life, and they jump-started it, and the heart continued to beat. That was the very first heart transplant. Can you imagine? Mm. The wisdom of God. And he had desire, definitely. Don't know where he was spiritually, but I wouldn't be surprised if he called out to God on that one. But supernatural wisdom is given by desire. It says desire spiritual gifts. If there's any of the spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that you need, whether it's the word of wisdom, whether it's the word of knowledge, that's something about now or the past. The word of wisdom is always about the future. Always. If you want to know anything about your future, you will have to ask God, because he already has been there and he knows. So I said to this person that called about the job, I said, there's one person that knows if you should get the job. That's God. Ask him. You know all the natural things seem to be lining up, but just ask him. I said, how did you know the last job you were supposed to get it? How did you know you were supposed to marry the person? How do you know these things? You have to ask, is this the right one? So, the Bible says King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Ever heard that? But he also was a fool. Now, does that make sense? How could somebody be the wisest man that ever lived and a fool? I'm going to show you that he was operating under the word of wisdom. But the reason he was foolish is because he didn't walk in natural wisdom. This is really important. We can do spectacular things with the word of wisdom from God, but we also have to learn natural wisdom to live in this world. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And I think what we'll do, Maureen, is just receive the offering at the end, okay?
Okay.
2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting with verse 10. This is Solomon speaking. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people that is so great? Verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. He didn't even ask for it, but he got it as a result of having the right heart to ask for the wisdom of God. If you look at verse 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, Ezrahite, Heman, and Kalkol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." Okay. If King Solomon was the wisest man, why did he die so young? Because he lacked self-control. There were three restrictions that were put on a king. He had the qualifications to become a king. But then when you became a king, you had restrictions. Three of them were in the area of horses, wives, and silver and gold. So where did he miss it? All three of them. The horses referred to the military might, because horses were part of the mighty war machines in those days, and the chariots. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses. The second restriction were wives. Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. And if you look at 1 Kings Chapter 11, 5 through 7, you can just write that down. It lists the idols the wives brought with them. And the very worst ones imaginable. Molech and Chemosh. They are two different names in two languages for the same god, and the worship of this idol was so horrible, cruel, it's unbelievable. So, number three, the last restriction was not to multiply wealth. And in 1 Kings, if you want to write this down for reference, 4:22 through 28, you can go back and read, it itemizes the provisions required for the king's household for just one day. The equivalent is 188 bushels of flour and 370 bushels of meal. Think about very rich people that we know in this world today. How do they handle their wealth? Do they just get any woman they want if they're a male? Or if they're a female? When God gave wisdom to Solomon, it was the word of wisdom. The way the word of wisdom comes is God reveals to you wisdom supernaturally. You're to do this, you're to go here, you're to do this, you're to go here. It's very specific wisdom. When I had the dream for this ministry, it was the wisdom of God. It was a prophetic word, but the prophetic word within it was the wisdom of God. When he reveals to you to send a resume or to get this job or to work with this promotion, it is the wisdom of God. But within the supernatural revealing, you know, to go on a mission trip, it's the wisdom of God. But then you also need the wisdom of God, and you're going to probably have to work out some things on managing your finances so you can go. And I really believe some people want it all where it just is, God just drops it in, but that's not the way He has it work. It does come by desire, and you do need it, but He also wants you to have an understanding of wisdom. Why? Because it will help you function in everyday life. For example, would it be easier to marry 4 times and divorce 4 times and marry again to finally figure out the best way to have a marriage? Or would it be better to learn everything you can about marriage before you marry? And then continue to learn everything you can about marriage according to the Word of God to keep your marriage. Now I know, because John and I were high school sweethearts and neither one of us were saved, that when I came to Christ, that's what I did. I just dove in. Because I was absolutely clueless in understanding. I definitely had a model of parents that stayed together, so that was good, but how did they stay together? Wisdom knows how, why, when, where. It knows the way to function. So the principles are in the Word of God, but then we have to work, and we have to be around wise people that know what to do to learn these things. You will be wise if you're around the wise. So what does it take to get the Word of Wisdom?
Desire.
And it's not a sloppy desire either. If you really want to know what you're supposed to be doing, the wisdom of God will reveal it to you. But with that revelation comes a responsibility. When Jesus found himself in the volume of the book, he became responsible. When we find ourselves in the volume of the book to forgive a person, we need to become responsible now. What's it going to take to do that? When God revealed to me the value of Israel, oh my gosh. It was kind of frightening because I realized how irresponsible I was through ignorance. But now that I know, I am very responsible. So, natural wisdom takes time. It takes years to learn some natural wisdom. Certain fields take years to learn. Why do you think, even in our college system here in America, there are different levels of college? There's different levels of schooling. But the way that wisdom is learned is subject by subject. It's almost like, just think of the clock or the watch. If you want to gain a lot of wisdom, then just like all the pieces to the watch, there are pieces of wisdom in the foundational understandings of your salvation, how you're to live, how you're to speak, how you're to believe, how you're to treat others. All of these are like putting your own little inner clock together so you tick with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly if you stop ticking, it's because a piece is not working right. Many of you may remember the time that I preached a message called The University of the Holy Spirit, and how the Lord has taught me to go through subject by subject by subject by subject by subject by subject. if I just learned a little bit about planting vegetables and a little bit about cooking and a little bit about mowing the lawn, is that going to help me do really good in planting vegetables? No, I've got to learn everything I can about the soil, what the environment does. I've got to learn all that it's going to take to grow the plant. And I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us because he's called this ministry leaders after God's heart. Leaders excel in wisdom. But not one of us here can know it all, because he has dispersed into Maureen, into Danya, into Larry, into Rich. He's dispersed into every single person a measure of their gift, a measure of faith to live on this earth. And it can be developed, but not one person has been given it all. To me, it's like scattering seeds. He scattered them in a very wise manner to each one of us, knowing who eventually would connect with who. But some people think, since God knows it all, isn't he going to do it all? But he doesn't. He wants our cooperation because he brought us here to have a relationship. So if you find yourself in a bunch like this, ask the Lord, what am I doing here? What is my part? Since we're all the clock of God moving, supposed to be flowing together in unity, every person has a part that causes the rest of the group to tick better. And I really believe it was very exciting for all of us yesterday because we saw each other ticking together in a very unique way, out and about with humanity. So which way is the wisest way to learn? Well, the Jews say it's the Torah. And it goes back to the story about somebody that's married four times. Which would be better, to learn from God's word as much as you can, or to have to go through every single experience over and over again? Plus, you can even learn from other people's experiences, which I did, and I don't know how this came to me except by revelation from God, and somebody must have been praying for me. But as a child, I remember looking at other people's lives saying, I don't want that result. I don't want that result. So I was learning from their mistakes without making it myself. In Proverbs 29, we've seen the scripture so many times. It says, where there is no vision, who knows what the rest of it is?
People perish.
Okay. And it means they go astray. But what's the rest of that verse? Somebody look it up. Proverbs 29:18. Somebody look it up and read it out loud.
Proverbs what?
29:18.
That he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Where there is no vision, people perish.
But he that keepeth the law. That word law in the Hebrew is Torah. This is important for you to learn because I'm opening up a watch for you right now, okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of understanding to this word because God is very meticulous in how he has created everything. The word Torah actually comes from a root word that is used in the realm of archery. Okay? And it comes from this root word, yara, which means to shoot an arrow. Okay, so Torah comes from yara, which means to shoot an arrow in order to hit a mark. So Torah, therefore, is the arrow aimed at the mark. This is the arrow. The Bible says in Psalm 127, happy is the man that has his quiver full of what?
Arrows.
Arrows. This. We are supposed to be living this so that wherever he points us, we shoot the truth right into that situation. Wisdom is our response to the Torah hitting us right in the truth in us. When the truth hits you right in the middle and you respond wisely, say, yes, Lord, that, okay, I'll do that. You've allowed it to hit the mark. I know we go through this a lot on Wednesdays when we talk about hearing the voice of God. So when the Torah is shooting, saying you hear God's voice and you respond, I don't, you didn't let the Torah hit the mark in you. When God says, I trust you, you can do this, and you're like, I don't know if I can. I want you to think about something. As you think every day, and as you speak, I want you to think about this. Do I really mean this? God is not sarcastic. And we have to watch what we're saying because we can be deferring truth. Do I really mean this? And do I really believe this when I say something? Because wisdom thinks more than it speaks. Now, something else that I think is important that you know about the word Torah is there's two other words that are developed from the word Torah. One is moreh. Do you know what that word is, Patty? It's teacher. And the other is hore, and that is parent. Think about the wisdom of God and how he built words. That his arrow, all right, that goes in the truth, actually from that word came the parent. The parent is supposed to train up the child in the way that he's to go, right? Mm-hmm. The teacher, whoever's teaching, and we all teach to a degree. Someone may be called to the office of a teacher or a school teacher, but nevertheless, all of it is to point people in the right direction. The way to look at a matter, the way to think, right? You have a responsibility to point him spiritually. I had somebody say to me in their 80s a couple days ago, you know, Lisa, if I was to raise children again, I don't think I would have left them to themselves to believe whatever they wanted to believe. I said, because when you did that, you left them to the world, putting their beliefs and influencing them. Because it says train up a child in the way, and you just didn't know that. For people to have intellectual purity, you know, there's a lot of intellects. We hear it on the news all the time. But an intellectual pure mind is someone that takes their thoughts and sorts out the ideas that they're thinking, which are true and false. Now, I know someone in here, we have a little wrestling match about hearing the voice of God. And I keep telling them, you hear the voice of God. You have to quit wrestling with the thought that is not the truth that keeps knocking the arrow away of truth, actually grafting on the inside of you so that you can begin to move forward. If we miss the wisdom of God in our life, it's because we didn't let the arrow sit right on the center of us. There's things God's speaking to every single one of you right now that I might not even be aware of unless he reveals it to me. And I think about when we were in Prescott in a church and I was singing. I did speak a little bit, but I was also singing. And this one young man came up to me and he said, "When you speak, it goes straight down into me." He lets it go straight down into him. Mm-hmm. But it's true. My faith, when I speak, I believe it's going straight into you. Straight into you. Now, it's up to us whether we keep thinking about this. And it's all about focus. You know, in the scripture in Romans, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means the arrow was coming to every one of us, but we didn't let it get in. We may not know until the other side how young we really were hearing the voice of God. But he was going after all mankind forever. You know, they say the Bible is the most popular book because it's translated into hundreds of thousands of languages, even if it's only bits and pieces. I remember going to a church once and they were sharing about going into, I think it was Japan or China, and all they had was one page of the Bible, and they would stand there for 6 hours listening to it over and over and over. And we have the whole thing. Now, wisdom is very deep. It goes deeper and deeper. How many of you would probably that have raised children do some things a little different than you did raising them? Is there anybody here that didn't learn something? So, do you find you make a better grandparent? Why do you think we're called grandparents? And then you get to the great-grandparent. Can you only imagine what you will have learned by then? And the only way that you will gain more wisdom is if you learn from your mistakes. In other words, you got to admit, all right, I didn't do this the best. Well, how could I do it better? And learn from it. Think about Hezekiah. The word of wisdom came to Hezekiah. How many of you know who Hezekiah was? How many of you don't? He was a king, all right? And he got a word from the Lord that he was going to die. Did he die when God said he was going to die, Patty?
No.
No. You know why? Though the word of wisdom came about his future, he didn't want that future. He knew that God was a good God, and he really didn't want him to have that future. But something within Hezekiah's little watch, his little clock on the inside, was moving his life in the wrong direction. Just like when you go to a doctor, and somebody goes, and the doctor gives a report. And us people of faith will say, "But it is the will of God you be healed." Guess what? They're going to have to make some shifts in their life and gain some wisdom to get through that. We can actually change bad reports. Having Hezekiah die young was not the best for God, but he definitely was revealing his wisdom because he was on the road to that kind of life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You have to get off the road to destruction to live on the road of life. Because some people would say, "Well, yeah, but if God said I'm going to die, then I am going to die." But something in Hezekiah didn't want to. And then you can find somebody else that might say, "Okay, I'll just roll over and die." Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there so passive. There's nothing in them that wants to realize they don't have to. Because they don't have a living relationship with God where they can have a little talkie with him and say, "Are you serious? Lord, you said I'm going to die, but I've got all these kids and grandchildren, and I'm not done. You can plead your case. Brother Hagen had somebody in his ministry that climbed up on a ladder and fell off and died. The guy's in heaven, but the wife comes to Brother Hagen, and they're having this little secret prayer meeting, praying for the man. And Brother Hagen begins to plead his case. Lord, he is one of the best men in my ministry, and I must have him. I need him. Well, he tells his version when the man comes back to life that he was in glory and he didn't want to. And God said, I'm sorry, but Brother Hagen's calling you back and you need to go back. Well, of course, when you get in glory, who wants to come back? Mm-hmm. Who wants to come back into the mortal body and have to deal with life? You know, they want to just suck on the pink lemonade and have No. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was doing a little research on languages. Do you know what science is finding about languages? This was really enlightening to me. Insight. They find that people's brains function better that can speak more than one language because they're able to shift back and forth. Why do you think God gave the gift of tongues? Mm-hmm. It actually helps your brain. Mm-hmm. You know what it helps your brain do? Get into the place to hear from God. Because I was thinking about this, just thinking about the word apple. Now, when I think of the word apple, I can see apple, right? A-P-P-L-E. All right? You start speaking in tongues, do you see the word unless the Holy Spirit reveals to you what you're saying? It says that when you speak in tongues, and you interpret the tongue, which the Bible says, pray that you may interpret. Otherwise, it's not going to benefit you or anybody around you. Tongues plus interpretation equals wisdom of God. It's the same as the word of wisdom to you. Or it could be the word of knowledge. He's going to reveal something to you. So naturally, working with different languages helps your brain, and spiritually, it helps your spirit man to discern the voice of God. Isn't that amazing? I hope you'll value speaking in tongues more and utilize that gift more. Praise God. So this is what I'm going to have you do. And we'll talk about it during dinner on your piece of paper. I want you to write down this, and you can bring your paper to dinner. I want you to write down areas you are wise in. And it's usually something that you've had a lot of experience with. Write down areas you know you need wisdom in. And I know from talking to some of you need wisdom in finances. You need wisdom. I found a really good source that I can share with you at another time. This guy was sharing some amazing insight, even to our own government, and what happened when our government took away the commodity of gold to measure our dollar, and how our dollar has lost its value. Because God always has checks and balances for us. And we get rid of that balance of the Word of God and try to go off on our own, we're going to lose. And we're going to talk about it at dinner. So areas that you know you're wise in and areas that you need wisdom. And the reason that I want you to write these down and we're going to discuss it is because one way that you gain wisdom naturally is from being around wise people. And the Lord told me that this ministry was going to be a ministry of oil, and that he would bring leaders in my life, and we would oil one another. Which means there's things that different people have wisdom in that they need to share with others. Now, many of you know that Vicki's not here, but she sent over a picture of her backyard that's been developing since she sat down with the wisdom of God through John to begin to map it out. And it's just unfolding, and God has been supplying all the financial need for it. It's really been exciting for her. Years she was stuck because she didn't have the right people, and she wasn't asking the right people for wisdom. Isn't that amazing how it can just be swallowed up so quickly? Years recovered in a few weeks. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to give you the chance to also give one thing that will help your arrow stay nice and straight is to always give honor to God as the source of your means. I was thinking deeply about this today. Thank God for the day he showed me that I was to bring my tithe into the storehouse and acknowledge him physically through that he was my source. And honestly, I have not been disturbed since. In fact, I had to really recover and weep over the fact that all those years I was earning a lot of money in my business and I never gave him honor for it. I really felt terrible all those years, and he could have helped me with wisdom through some of the times to even do a better job of managing the money, but I wasn't giving him honor. And I know we had a huge investment, I've never even really talked to John about this, that we lost $10,000, and I knew it was because I did not listen to God. I knew even when the thing was going on, I should have taken a stand and done what he was quickening me, but I was afraid. Because wisdom and fear can almost seem like they're the same, because sometimes wisdom keeps you from doing something. Mm-hmm. But it is not the same as fear. It says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And fear of God doesn't mean you're afraid to go to him. It means you respect him and you reverence him. And so I turned that fear of man into, I respect you as my source, and I will give honor where honor is due. And he has shown that he is my provider. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.